Thanks very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, a Wednesday edition. Let's go right to it. We're a little behind schedule here. Terry Savage is on a phone line. Terry, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Glad to talk with you as we start the new year.
Yeah,
I've
okay.
Got one big worry.
I want to start, well, let's do pensions, but I want to talk, you also mentioned the stock market barometer, and Orion mentioned in his business report, you know, we started last year with a terrible start on Wall Street, but ended with a very positive year overall. But you tell me there is sort of a barometer that if we look at the first few days.
It's interesting. As January goes, so goes the stock market.
Except.
And exactly. And as the first 5 days go, so goes January. At least that is the historical perspective, and it has a pretty good track record. So what really is important is what happens in these next few days. Now, it doesn't mean for sure that if the market is down in January, that's what's going to happen. But it's also a pretty good indicator of what's likely to happen in the year. Now, we're doing like next to nothing today. So we've got a few more days of trading before we figure it out. But the January barometer from the Stock Traders Almanac happens to be a long record of success in predicting the year.
And last year's just a little reminder that nothing is absolute.
Exactly.
Speaking of not absolute, pensions don't seem to be absolute anymore either. I mean, even if you work for a long time, if you have been in the job market back when they had pensions, and we're not talking about public pensions here as much, but, you know, they're always under threat.
We're talking about everybody who gets a pension, whether it's city, state, corporate, or union. But something happened in late December, just before the holidays, that set a new precedent. Now, let's be clear. Pensions of corporations are guaranteed by the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, a quasi-government agency funded by other companies who have pension contributions. So at least there is some sort of a guarantee, not your entire pension, but roughly, depending on your status, up to $5,000 a month. Remember years ago when United filed for bankruptcy and the pilots thought they were going to get $10,000 a month, found out they were only getting $5,000 when their pension was part of the United bankruptcy process. States cannot declare bankruptcy. They cannot default on their pension obligations because they are sovereign taxing powers. So it's assumed they will just raise taxes and pay those pensions. And you know, in Illinois, the Supreme Court has ruled that that's a contract part of the Constitution of the state, so state pensions can't be changed once they're put into effect for a worker. And the city of Chicago, which has pension funds that are truly running out of money, the major ones in the next 10 years, no matter what they're juggling around now, it's a serious problem. But the state Supreme Court said, nope, the city will just have to raise taxes and pay the pension. Now, some cities have gone bankrupt, but never before has a city adjusted the benefits of retirees. That's a long way of getting to this headline that happened in late December. Union pensions, they're called multi-employer pensions. A lot of them are running out of money. They cover workers who are maybe Teamsters or other employees that work in many different companies, and the union runs the pension. You know they've had a terrible history.
So they're multi-employer. They're multi-employer in that they get a big pool of workers to contribute to this pension system.
Exactly. The employers actually contribute through a union pension. Some of those union pensions, remember the days of Jimmy Hoffa and the Teamsters pension? And I mean, you're going way back here. Well, the chickens are home to roost, and the government, in the spending bill at the end of December of 2014, late at night, they inserted a provision that said, you know what, if your union pension is in such terrible shape, you can apply to the Labor Department and the Treasury Department together to actually cut pension benefits, even for current retirees. And now it's happened. The Treasury Department just gave approval for a local iron workers union in Cleveland to cut retiree benefits by as much as 50%. That's for people who are already receiving checks. Now, the whole union has to vote on this proposal. That means it pits the current workers,
right,
who would like to get something against the retirees, are going to get 50% cuts. So that's likely to come to fruition in the next 2 or 3 weeks. There's a list of 67 plans classified as critical and declining. You can read this column at terrysavage.com. There's a link to find out which are those plans, to find out if you get a pension, whether it's a union or any other pension, how well funded your pension is right in this article called The Coming Pension Default.
That's something to
open the door to cut this decision by the Treasury to allow one union in such critical trouble to offer to cut pension benefits in half. That's opened the door to something we've never seen before.
And let's make that a nice little good night story for us tonight, a bedtime story. Terry Savage, read more at terrysavage.com. Thanks very much for joining us today. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Steve.
You bet. It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. We'll talk to Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. MyPillow.com 1222, it is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, MyPillow is one of the great sponsors, one of the many sponsors here on the Business Lunch. And so we read a commercial for them, I think, just about every day, and one's coming up a little bit later today. MyPillow is in the news for reasons that it probably wouldn't care to be today. And the CEO, Mike Lindell, joins us on the phone line now to talk about all of that. Mike, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
All right, so I appreciate the fact that you're coming on and talking about this. The Better Business Bureau has revoked your accreditation, moved you down to an F, and they have issue with an ad that I read almost every day. It says that if you buy one MyPillow, you get another MyPillow free, and then two Go Anywhere pillows as well, all for the same price. Their issue is that offer has run so long that it's no longer really a sale, that's become the actual price. Did I explain that correctly?
Yeah. My rating got reduced from an A+ to an F. Their guidelines, the BBB guidelines, they came to me like in August and September, and they said, it wasn't the ad you're running, but it's the 2-for-1 on TV, where it's not with the Go Anywhere pillows. That ad's been running. They said they'd like to change it up, and I said, well, that's good news. I said in 2017, in January, we're coming out with all new specials. And I said, these commercials are going to be amazing. And they said, well, we would like you to take them down before that, before Christmas. And I think it was November. And I said, well, I don't want to do that. I disagree. I want my customers to get the specials before for Christmas, I said. And my customers come first. I view every customer like it's my only customer. And I have 1,500 employees, everything made in the USA. We're very proud of all that. And they didn't, apparently it was a timing thing. They did not want to wait until this month for ads to come out.
Mike, was waiting then worth it for you? Because had you acted more quickly, you wouldn't be dealing with publicity like this today.
Say that again.
I said, was waiting worth it for you? Because had you acted when they asked, you wouldn't be dealing with the negative stuff today.
Well, you know what though, my customers come first, and I can look back and say, oh, I should have done it or shouldn't have done it, but I just I wanted every customer to get the a great special for their Christmas gifts, and I'm all about the customer. I go back where your handshake is your word, and I just thought our creatives couldn't have been done till January, and I had radio stations, I had TV stations where prepaid media, and they're counting on this for their advertising. Right. And everybody was counting on me, and that would have to break my promises for their guidelines. And I can't look back and say I made a bad decision, but my customers do come first, and I got to be loyal to them.
Were you aware when you put this program together that it might have been skirting the BBB regulations or rules?
Absolutely not. It does. I guess there's timing thing or whatever the special is so successful. I ran different ads on bed toppers, and I have a new bed coming out and all these different specials, and that one just happened to be very successful that everybody liked that special. So I didn't know they want me to take down a special to the public, and we'll get through it. And it is very bad. I feel very disappointed going from an A+ to an F, hopefully when the new ads come out, the buy one, get one free is not going to be included. It was never included in our 2017 program. And hopefully everything will be okay again.
All right. Tell me about that. Tell me about getting through it, because part of being a CEO and a leader is, it's great joy when you can hand someone a pillow and see how happy they are to deliver on your product. But this is the painful part of it, where you have to be out front and deal with it. And I just wonder if you've learned anything from this experience or will do anything differently going forward.
You know, I can't change my how I view my customers. They come first. I know I come from a 5 years, 6 years where no box store, nobody would take me, and I did home shows and fairs and stuff on the road. And what kept me going was the customers that I took care of each one like it was my only customer. And to help change their life, my passion is to help people, to help better their lives. And you know, I got a foundation coming out this month where we're going to be do all these things with the inner city. That's where my passion is. So, I got to keep that. I got to keep that going.
I know that you knew this was coming. Did you sleep all right tonight or last night?
Well, I didn't know this was coming. I was in Canada doing a show, a 24-hour show on a shopping channel where I get about 5 hours sleep. And a day and a half ago, my Facebook started getting all these Facebooks, and the media came out with here in Minnesota. And so I had to fly back from Canada to talk to the press, have a press conference and talk to everybody and tell them what went on. And, It is disappointing, and it's like you say, these are the hard things for a CEO to go through, and especially when customer service is my number one thing. I would put MyPillow's customer service up against any company in the world, not just the United States, in the world, because it all starts with me. And every one of my customer service right outside my office here. I've trained each one of them. Years ago, I took 20,000 minutes of customer service myself, and I would drive halfway across the state to get someone their birthday in time for their birthday on MyPillow. I mean, I figure every customer, because I look back to those days where I only had a few customers, I'll never forget that. And I want everybody to see a smile on their face and sleeping well.
Let me ask you one more then before we go. We got to go. But now that this has happened, and you said you didn't realize you were skirting or violating those rules when it did, when you come up with new campaigns, are you going to sort of run them through the BBB filter before you put them out there?
Well, now I know the BBB, their internal regulations, and absolutely. I mean, I got different products coming out, and I'm gonna be very aware of that, and of course I will be. I'm not out to just because I want to give my customers a great deal doesn't mean I don't want to be in regulation.
Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow, MyPillow.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
Hey, come back. Let's talk again when there are happier days.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Coming up a little bit later in the program, we'll talk to Quentin Futrell. He is the news editor and the Moneyologist columnist for MarketWatch. And he wrote something this week that jumped out at me because it turns out January is a big month when it comes to divorce filings. Now, coincidentally or not, former Congressman Jesse Jackson and his wife Sandy are in court. I think they were in with another hearing today.
So I think they just wrapped up,
up one, right? Mm-hmm. And that looks as if it's going to become a little nasty, right?
Could be, because he filed in Cook County, she filed in Washington, D.C., so they got to figure out which venue they're going to use for this.
And so Quentin writes this piece about the fact that, look, a lot of people are filing in January, so be aware of these pitfalls. So if you're thinking of it, if you've got the papers in your hand, wait for Quentin, and we'll kick that around a little bit, or maybe just the holidays were too much for y'all. Frank Sennett's on the phone line right now. He joins us most Wednesdays to talk about what's news at Crane Chicago Business. Frank, welcome to the Business Lunch.
I'll never quit you, Steve.
No, I'll never quit you. I've got the papers, Frank, but I will never serve. I will never serve you.
Keep me in line.
Have we talked since? No, right? How was New Year's? Good?
It was really good, yeah. Had dinner with some friends, very low-key. How about you?
I went to a party with some friends. I'm not a big New Year's guy, so... I'd be happy to stay home, frankly, even though, I was with lovely people. Okay, I shouldn't have brought it up.
we're two fun-loving guys.
One of the interesting things overall for me to watch Rahm Emanuel is to see how he has sort of poached back the suburbs from all of these businesses. Now, I live in Deerfield, so it really hurt me when the Bulls, I had a lot of friends who worked with the Bulls, moved downtown as they've done. He's made an issue of that, bringing a lot of corporate headquarters from the suburbs back into the city, I should say, because I think they probably, for the most part, started here and moved out to the burbs. But he's really done that. Now, I don't know if that comes to play when we're talking about First Midwest Bank, but they now are moving some jobs and their headquarters from Itasca into what is becoming sort of a banking hub around O'Hare Airport.
That's right. And I've been up to the Wintrust facility up there,
yeah.
Very nice headquarters near O'Hare. And Private Bank Corp also has headquarters in downtown Chicago. But yeah, First Midwest is moving to the northwest side of Chicago on Bryn Mawr, not too far from O'Hare, not too far from their competitor Wintrust. And they're going to bring 300 jobs with them from Itasca.
What's attractive about that site?
Let's see. It's a central location. So in terms of pulling employees, I think that becomes more of an attractive recruiting tool. And the access into the downtown suburbs, northwest and south, the spokesperson says that's where their footprint is. So they want to be closer to the action as they have their branches.
And Wintrust is there. MB, I think, is in the neighborhood as well. Is there any benefit to having these bank headquarters nearby?
Well, I think, if you are in that area, you can never have to pay an ATM fee because you'll always be able to find right. a machine with your bank.
So we got that. Okay. So
I have to say this. My first job out of college was in Bannockburn, and I did the reverse commute out there near Deerfield, and I used to see Scottie Pippen and those guys back when they had the Bulls practice facility.
All the time. I mean, Pippen used to be – well, he still is in my health club, but one of my best friends in Deerfield was a coach, and he's moved on to Golden State, but – and I've knew others, and yeah, it's just kind of, you know, it's I understand why the mayor is doing it, but it's just one of those things where when you're looking at it statewide, you're sort of robbing Peter to pay Paul. But and I don't know if this was part of it. I mean, was Emmanuel really big in bringing First Midwest into the city, or did it just sort of happen organically?
I think that it sounds like they really more had a shift in their priorities, that they wanted to be closer to, you know, where all of their banks were.
Right.
That's what I'm taking from the story anyway.
Okay, let's talk about this other. Now, I had to you're going to have to explain to me DOE. So I just love the terminology. DOE is an online trading platform or mobile money platform, and they have sort of reformed into what, from Think or Swim to Tasty Trade? Is there from Tasty Works to Tasty Trade? Explain that for me, Frank.
Yeah, so DOE is this online mobile platform for kind of a DIY investor who wants to buy and trade stocks. It's aimed more at millennials, people who are
right.
very digitally savvy.
Well,
I
was going to say, that's what is so attractive to me about this is just the terminology, because I threw all those out there. Tasty Works, Tasty Trade, DOE. You know, this is not your father's investment firm, I guess is the point. Things have become
exactly.
much more informal.
And so what's interesting, though, is that a lot of your father's investment firms did want to buy into access to that market, and they would gobble up these companies or also make deals with them. And so this company, Thinkorswim, had a deal with TD Ameritrade. And so they were doing business as Tasty Trade under that TD Ameritrade deal. So now they were looking at another 10-year deal with TD Ameritrade, and they couldn't come to terms. So the co-founder, Tom Sosnoff, is now creating a new Chicago-based broker, not called Tasty Trade, but called Tasty Work.
Right.
See what he did there?
I see.
It's tasty either way you go. So basically, he's taking it back in-house, and they are going to be doing a lot of the same stuff, same kind of content that appeals to millennials. So they just are kind of untangling from that deal.
Sounds to me like this is an investment group that is based less on holding your hand and talking about the future than it is by showing you web videos and talking about the future.
Exactly. They've got these shows that they put out there about, the joys and the investing 101 and what are hot areas of investing, and it's for entry-level investors, and people up in the next rung can get some entertainment as well as some education is the thought. And it's interesting, this move away with this new brokerage follows TD Ameritrade actually purchased Thinkorswim, the other company there, in 2009 for $606 million. So they still own the part that they had purchased. and then they had run this other thing with them under a licensing deal, and now that's going to kind of be carved out. So,
okay.
And this guy kind of had his cake and ate it too.
No kidding. So we will look for him in the future under Tasty Works, Tom Sasso.
Yes.
Tasty yeah. Works. Okay, well, I want to talk to him. I think that's a pretty interesting idea. How much is your home worth, Frank?
Well, my home is worth...
Oh, you don't have to answer
what
that
are you going to offer? What are you going to offer?
Right. So Rodkin writes for Cranes. He's in with me from time to time, and he's got a piece on real estate where I think it's Zillow, right? Put together the total home value in the Chicago area, and they put it at just about $773 billion. Now, what good does that do? Well, when you compare it to, say, 2006, you can see how we've done as far as the recovery, and we've not done as well as some of the other cities in this country.
Yeah, that sounds like a great number until you see that it was $906 billion. In 2006.
Right.
So we're still 15% behind that peak. And then, as you note, Steve, the other big cities, Los Angeles, up 5% from the 2006 figure, New York up 1%. They both surpassed the peak of 2006 last year. So we're, you know, kind of lagging behind.
60% of the real estate markets in the country, according to Zillow, are still below their peak value. So we've got that, but I'd prefer to be a leader.
That's for sure.
I'd like to be, I don't want to be in the back of the pack.
And overall, nationwide, housing stock is valued at $29.65 trillion at the end of the year, and that's 1% plus higher than its 2006 value. So even though Chicago and some other cities are holding them back, the real estate values are chugging ahead finally.
So we're at $773 billion. Had you sold your house in 2016, we would have been at $773.5 billion. So I'm sorry you didn't put it on the market.
Right. Yeah, it's Scotty Pippen's in the market for a new place, maybe.
Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Steve. Happy New Year.
All right, we'll talk again soon. Happy New Year. This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Our D-I-V-O-R-C-E becomes finally. Thank you, Orion. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Tammy Wynette. It's the Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, 1253. Let's jump right into the divorce talk, should we? Quentin Fortrell is a news editor, moneyologist, columnist for MarketWatch.com, and he joins us on a phone line now. Quentin, welcome to the Business Lunch.
My pleasure.
Okay, so I was reading your column yesterday and then today, and I look up at the TV screens and we have a very famous former congressman here, Jesse Jackson Jr., who is embroiled in what looks like it's going to be a difficult and contentious divorce. Lawyers making some accusations today. And so it's sort of exactly what you were writing about earlier this week. January is a big time for divorce in the U.S.
Yeah, people don't want to file for divorce when they have kids around the holidays. They usually wait. They've also been cooped up in a house for days. Their in-laws and all their problems are exacerbated. And by the time January comes along, they just want to get it done. They file the papers. Nearly a third of divorces, there's an increase by 30%, 25 to 30% every January.
And so a couple of things, right? It could be, like you said, they're waiting to put it off until after the holidays, or you're just absolutely driven crazy over the holidays. I would suspect if it's B, then those who are filing are going sort of counter to the advice that the experts are giving you. Don't do this in haste and don't do it in anger.
Unless they spent the last 3 months putting together all of their financial documents, looking at the mail, seeing what financial institutions are on that envelope. It's illegal to open your spouse's envelopes, so look, it happens. It's not recommended. So unless you've really planned it and it's not an emotional decision, divorce lawyers say people who come in looking for a shark or a pit bull are not really great clients because they're angry and they're upset. And you need to treat divorce like it's a business deal. You need to be really calm because you're going to get your partner upset. It's going to cost you thousands of extra dollars.
Tell me about that business deal part of it, because when it comes to all of this, that's really what a divorce proceeding is about.
Right. You really have to be very, you have to plan everything. You've got to be courteous. You've got to be respectful to avoid any escalation in divorces. Costs between $25,000 to $100,000, depending on the assets involved. So you have to be really careful.
And if it gets angry, the prices go up, could double, sometimes triple.
Right. You can literally, one divorce lawyer said, your costs could triple if you go in there with all guns blazing. So you have time. You can file for divorce. In New York, for example, you can file. You have 128 days before you serve the papers. You have a lot of time to prepare. You may decide... One partner might not have health insurance. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to Obamacare. You might decide, look, let's stay married for the kids. Let's stay married for the health insurance.
Right, and so that's part one of the suggestions as well, right? Look at it that maybe separation works, but come short of divorce to protect your insurance. Now, there are some states, right, that are insurance policies that if you're legally separated, they won't recognize the ex or nearly ex either, right?
Right, they're going to look at your address and think, if you're separated, we're not going to pay your partner insurance, your health insurance. So you have to be very careful about that. Health insurance companies have gotten onto this. Also, if you have a home, you may not want to sell. You never make big financial decisions for an emotional reason. Divorce, it sounds like a lifestyle choice, but it's not. It's one of the biggest financial decisions you're going to make in your life, aside from buying a house or getting married. And it's usually a very costly financial decision because you've got double the costs. You have to have your own home. So you have to think very, very carefully and budget before you go anywhere near that divorce lawyer.
Quentin Fortrell is the news editor, moneyologist, columnist for MarketWatch.com. Quentin, it was great to talk to you today. I appreciate it. You opened my eyes to a number of things. Not that I'm in the market, but I hope we can talk again soon.
My pleasure.
All right. That's Quentin. Thank you very much. It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.